Here's our buddy. It's great of him to take time, especially on a holiday down in the States, Memorial Day down in the U.S., from FS1, longtime NFLer, and a regular here on Overdrive. Here's Marcellus Wiley. What's up, Marcellus?
Oh, man, just a little grill and chill on the holiday today with the family. All good, brothers. How you guys?
Oh, we're doing well. Okay, we're doing very well. We've been talking about, you know, the golf match yesterday, doing massive numbers and how great it was, how interactive it was. Barkley being involved in that. But what we've really discussed more than anything is just players being mic'd up. And the NFL has a history of it, right? With the NFL films, you know, players have been getting mic'd up for a long, long time. Have you ever been mic'd up yourself? And if so, were you comfortable with the situation? How do you feel about that as a football player?
Yeah, it's always fun to be mic'd up. I've been mic'd up a few times. Actually, saw one of my episodes when I was mic'd up on a Monday Night Football game, and it's a weird experience. It's kind of a reality TV experience. Even though you're used to playing in front of 80,000 people, it's weird when you know that millions are going to hear every single syllable and word that you profess for 3 hours. And I think the weirdest part is not just what you say and beyond your natural verbiage and the natural conversations you have. It's like when you put a little extra sauce on it because you know you're mic'd up. It's kind of funny to feel that emotion, but it's really weird to be around your teammates. It's a thing that we walk around when you're mic'd up. You kind of tap your chest, which is an alert to everyone surrounding you to be PG-13. Don't be rated R, brother. Don't be X-rated like normal. Let's take it down a couple of notches because the world is listening. So it's always a fun experience because some of your teammates don't get the signal. And they just come at you full board, and obviously the fans and the NFL films crew kind of, they make sure that they filter those parts out. Pretty weird.
They're coming in hot with some of that stuff. If they don't pick up, hey, I'm Mike, you better watch this one. Did you ever get in a game and just get so emotional because clearly you're in the middle of a game and forget about it? Forget that you're mic'd up and just let her fly because you're involved in the moment.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's so weird about it. There are times where it's contrived. Let's be real. Before a kickoff or a big moment, you're kind of sitting there. Your adrenaline's running, but at the same time, there's no game action. You hype it up. You know that people are listening. And then there's times where you get lost, like anyone. If you're followed around with a film crew or if you have a mic on you for a while, you just lapse in judgment, lapse in memory. Sometimes you forget it's on, and then you just go who you really are. And in those moments, you got to be protected by the shield, protected by the NFL, because they don't want you, obviously, in a bad light, especially when they ask the better players to be mic'd up, and it's kind of a brand-building exercise for both parties. So last thing they want to do is drop the ball, kind of like what happened to Sam Darnold, if you guys remember last year against the Patriots. Him being mic'd up was a bad experience, and I think the NFL even learned from that one.
Is there a few guys on the team that you don't even go near because you know that they just wouldn't want any type of exposure that way? Like they either conduct themselves a different way, they're either too intense, or they don't want what they say, and they're not capable at that moment to maybe dumb it down?
Oh, my God, best question ever. Hell, yes, there's some dudes you just got to avoid because no matter what filter you say I have on and I have a mic on and they're going to be listening, they don't give a damn. They don't care. They're like, look, that's on them. That's a you problem. Right now, I'm going to be me, and I'm going to be the same boisterous, crazy, felonious teammate you know me to be. And there are some teammates that I've had, that whether they were just wild characters or actually some teammates that had rap sheets, they didn't care about anything bigger than them. They were like, look, I'm going to be me as long as I'm here on this earth. And it used to be funny when you see those guys. Beware of the dude who does not give a damn about the NFL.
With Marcellus Wiley, I have a sneaking suspicion what we saw yesterday could be forecasting for Tom Brady. Brady, for the first time in 20 years, looked human, got goofed on, had people being like, wow, man, this guy's actually not the alpha dog right now. I'll take a run. And I'm concerned in a way because he is, in my opinion, the greatest of all time. He's a guy that I have on a pedestal above maybe any other athlete going right now. I would include LeBron in that as just a guy who's untouchable. He's perfect. And I'm fearful he's going to get to Tampa He's going to start to look his age. He's going to start to fall apart, and he's going to become the kind of the brunt of the joke for the first time in 20 years.
Am
I reaching on that?
No, you're not reaching at all, man. It's funny. Some people would always testify that if Tom Brady had been drafted somewhere else without Belichick, without that potent defense, without that special teams that he had earlier in his years, what would Tom Brady have been? He would have been more like a mere mortal. But it's funny, yesterday watching him go out there, our superheroes bleed as well, man. It's funny to watch him limp through those front nine holes. Like, wow. Like, and it was mental, because golf is a game against yourself or against the course. It's not an opponent out there, really. And it's funny to watch him really have that inner battle, because all of his shots were landing on the other fairways, not the intended fairway. And it was just wild to see. But then you also saw Captain Clutch in the back nine start to pull it together, start to respond, start to calm down that inner voice. And I've been in some of those pro-ams before, legit golf tournaments, and it's a whole different animal. You get into that situation, whether it's a gallery or not, it's just you, the club, the ball, and green. And that's a different nervous system than what you use as a football player. In football, there's always a teammate around. There's always someone you're working with. You can't do it by yourself. And so pressure never squarely falls exactly on you. But that yesterday showed you, when it does fall all on you, how some people respond, even the GOATs, even the greats like a Tom Brady.
So there's some reports out there about what the NBA could end up doing. We know that they've zoned in on Orlando. They're going to have every team there. I doubt all 30 show up. I don't see why you would do that in terms of just safety precautions to begin with, the amount of testing, the amount of potential excess in terms of people, in terms of personnel, and the ability to potentially contract the virus and bring it into the bubble. So I don't see them doing that. But they may go 16 teams, they may go 20, they may go 24. We saw in the NHL, they've decided to go 24. And there's been some blowback on that, but I think it's going to work out really well. I said a couple months ago, Marcellus, if and when these leagues come back, I hope they take this advantage to do something different. You know, take advantage of the uniqueness of the situation. You're never going to get it again. And I think the NBA, I'm hoping, they decide to do what I've always wanted these leagues to do, is get rid of the conferences and reseed 1 through 16, as opposed to 1 through 8 in the East, 1 through 8 in the West. I think, put it this way, for you, an L.A. guy, you could have Lakers-Clippers in the NBA Finals if you do that. I think it'll be brilliant, but I think they're risking people loving it and then expecting it to be basically the status quo moving forward. But how would you feel about that idea, and how much do you want to see these leagues, specifically the NBA and I guess the NHL, because of what they're dealing with right now, kind of in a bubble and only dealing with the playoffs, do something unique and be creative with their playoff structure?
Yeah, I'm with you. I want a unique experience, and I want a limited experience based on qualifications. And this year is a perfect year for the NBA to come back with just the 16 teams, the two playoff conferences, and the 8 in the West, 8 in the East, just because if you look at the ninth seed in both conferences, they're 3.5 back and 5.5 back. So realistically, they're pretty much out of the playoff picture already. Why bring them back for something that's meaningless and putting them at further risk? For all the other teams, the 10th through 15th seeds in both conferences, sit at home. I mean, this is the perfect opportunity to hide under the cover of, hey, we're protecting you guys, which is real. But also, let's not just put the extra stress on something that we're trying out for the first time and everyone being in a bubble. So I think in both conferences, at best, you can see 1 through 9. So that will be 18 total teams. But everyone else, sit it out. You guys are done for the year, mathematically pretty much as well, as teams were in their 60th some game, some close to 70. It's a wrap for those other teams. And then once you get in there, you just have to be very careful of the outrage that will come, and to serve all of the noise that's coming. Like, you have to make sure that the NBA stays focused on what's most important, a competitive product that mirrors normal playoff years, so that we don't have a caveat season, an asterisk season, that they actually go through the process And I look forward to seeing that. I look forward to seeing what comes from that. And hopefully the NBA won't serve two gods. You can't serve the public and serve your best interest. You have to kind of plow through some of those experiences where people are going to protest or be outraged. You just got to understand that there may be a positive test or two or few, but collectively, this is the best thing that they can do, and nothing's going to be perfect about this. So I'm with you. Try something unique this year.
Well, they're trying something unique because it looks like they're going to play the playoffs perhaps down at Disney in Florida. Does it make any difference, do you think? I know courts are the same, football field's the same, hockey rink's the same, but to play in a building that's not really an NBA building, would that be different at all for players, do you think? Would that change the vibe just because you won't be in a familiar building?
Yeah, it's weird. It's not the same as a normal NBA game, obviously, and it won't be the same without fans as a normal playoff experience. But it's no different for any of the other teams, so it's a universal application. Everyone has to suffer the same. Whatever you want to call that, adrenaline, your biorhythms. Like as an athlete, certain kickoff times, certain tip-off times gives your body a different response. But being real, running through the tunnel, running out to 20,000 NBA fans or 80,000 football fans does something to the body as well. And you can't fake that. I don't care how psychologically crazy you go, you can never fake the osmosis effect from everyone gathering all in your energy just to see you perform. So at least that suffering is going to be universal, and everyone's going to feel that deficit. So it's the best you could come with. What's the old saying? Perfect is enemy of good. So right now, nothing's going to be perfect, and I don't think you should even strive for it.
Great stuff as always, buddy. We always appreciate you taking time, especially on a holiday. We'll do it again soon.
All right, brothers. Take care, man, and have a great one. We talk soon.
You got it. Marcellus Wiley from FS1. I love the idea of them reseeding, getting rid of the East and West in the NBA. I've always advocated for that. I think it allows for so many more combinations of an NBA finals or a combination of even a conference final. And to put it into perspective here, based on the way the points percentages work out right now, if the Raptors were playing in the playoffs tonight in a bubble down in Orlando, they would play Memphis in the first round, so a team in the West, team they've never played in the playoffs. In the second round, assuming seeds 1 through 8 all win, so they all move back into an 8-seed tournament after that, the Raptors would play Denver in the second round, another Western Conference team. And then in the third round, they would play the Lakers. Like that would be incredible. You could have a Final Four of Milwaukee playing the Clippers and the Lakers playing the Raptors. So you could have, ostensibly, Milwaukee-Toronto in the NBA Finals or Lakers-Clippers in the NBA Finals. Wow. And you can do it this year because travel is not an issue. You're all in Orlando.
I don't want to get crazy here, guys, but would you be all right if they okayed 24 teams in the National Hockey League and did a similar format in that? It doesn't matter where they're playing. You do 12 teams at Edmonton. Let's say there are 12 teams at Edmonton, 12 teams in Vegas. Just for argument's sake, you've got two spots. But you put 12 teams that are seated properly there and the other 12 on the other side. But if you went 1 versus 24, 2 versus, like, because you're all technically under the same roof, you would sort that out. Like,
well,
would you be fine with that?
The problem is you are dealing with two hub cities, so I don't know if it would work, like, logistically the way Disney is for the NBA.
Well, you can just set the pairings.
Yes, and right, I would be
nervous. If you followed a bracket, you could set the pairings based, like, you know, teams 9 to 24 could play each other, 9 versus 24.
Exactly.
I tell you, Carolina would like it.
Yes.
Because they don't like the way it's at this for them when it went east-west. This might also be a good year for it because for so many years, how long has it been the West has been way better than the East? Like 10, 15 years? It seems like forever.
Yep.
This year in the NBA, it's much closer. So, you know, the idea that an Eastern Conference team might be really put out by having to play against the Western Conference, not as obvious this year as in years past.
I love it, man. And I know, yes, is it different? Of course. But the whole situation is different. This idea of being fearful of the asterisk crowd, forget about them. Like blow past it. This 2020 is going to be a completely different ballgame than any other sports league or sports schedule we've ever been through and likely will ever be through again. So if you want to try something, now's your chance. You know, now's the chance to do something a little bit different. And why not go 1 through 16 this year? Why not? And I love the idea.
Do you feel like this year would be an asterisk? Like, I don't think this year should be an asterisk beside any team that ends up winning any sport.
I don't think it will be once we get there.
And different. Once you get there, you think it'll feel normal for you?
Yes, I think once we crown a champion, we'll look back and say, wow, that was amazing. I actually do believe we're going to get there. People are going to be like, that was really cool. It was very different. It was tough. It was competitive. Like, that's what we're talking about. The nature of sports is competition. So if there's intensity in competition and guys are putting their bodies on the line and it feels like they've achieved something that was very difficult, that's sports. How you get there, you can get there a million different ways. Right. But as long as that is accomplished, and I believe that it will be, it's going to feel like a legitimate journey and a legitimate competition.
Yeah, I didn't look at it any different when you had the shortened season in the NHL, the 48 teams. Right. Like, it was... You know, Chicago won that year. What was it, 2013? Like, that was they won that year. Mm-hmm. Like, it may have looked different getting there because he only played 48 games, but you know, ultimately they went through the playoffs and went through the whole battle. I think these teams, once they're in it, the playoffs, the actual ice product is going to look the same. Everything else will look different, but they're going to have to win four series to win a Stanley Cup. So it's not going to have an asterisk with me.
Noodles, no. Do you consider the play-in five-game series, is that the playoffs? Do we call that a playoff berth for a team that loses the play-in five-game series? Is that even considered the playoffs?
I don't think so.
It should be, though.
Four rounds after.
It should be. I've seen the sticklers online. Well, hey, technically, just give it a rest, all right? If you're one of the 24 teams, you're in the playoffs.
Well, what it was is somebody posed the question, if the Leafs lost in that play-in or whatever, yeah. Would that be a first-round loss, or is that the play-in loss?
Like, no, I would consider it a round loss. I don't care what you call it.
So there's five rounds then. There's first five rounds.
Well, not for every team. I mean, there's a round robin and then four rounds for the top four teams in each conference. Right. But, I mean, it's all semantics, right?
Like, exactly.
It's all doesn't matter. The fact is you got to win a certain amount of games, and it's going to be tough to do that.